I'm so happy to be talking to you. Where are you today?
I'm in Nairobi, Kenya.
Where are you living now? Are you still living in Matare or?
Yes, I'm living in Mathare still, but I had to borrow a friend's house and computer so I can talk to you
Well,
today.
thank you. I'm very glad. I'm very grateful. Can you remember when you first thought you wanted to work in film? Like, where did that idea come from, do you think?
So it started way back when I was still in primary school. Because I used to see my uncle, he used to act in theater, so and it made me feel like I really wanted to be on TV too. So I started way back acting like in local channels in Kenya, so.
Because you sort of knew very early on that you liked being in front of the camera, didn't you? Rather than you, like, you knew you didn't want to be a cameraman, you wanted to be a presenter, and really in front of the camera.
Yes, like for a very long time. I used to like even my friends even to date, like whenever they tell me like to hold their camera, take pictures, I'm like, no, you're supposed to take me the picture. I guess it's just a calling. I was born to do that.
It's a good thing to know.
Yes.
And then, how did you get involved with Films Without Borders? Did they come to your school? Am I right in thinking that?
No, they didn't come. So I have a mentor who is an actor, a really great actor. He's called Joseph Wairimu. We have been talking. So I was in Form 4 in 2015. So and Film Without Borders came to Mathare. They were looking for to do a workshop for 2 weeks, and I remember I went to the interview because Joseph called me, and I wasn't picked the first time. But it's not that I wasn't good, but I guess the number was really like we had a lot of people to choose. And because I remember by that time I had been given a suspension at school because the kind of friends that I used to have, like, it's not that they were bad, but by then, high school, Film Without Borders found me when I was really in a bad place, in a dark place, because I was still in high school at home. And it's so depressing because a lot of young people, especially from the informal settlement, we end up getting pregnant or just having bad company. And that wasn't my case because even in high school, I used to be a really nice, it's just that I used to be a backbencher. That's why. And yeah, they saved my life. Let me just say they saved my life.
And so your documentary was called Tales from the Slums. And why? So did you make that off the back of the 2 week workshop that you did with Films Without Borders, or did that come later?
We came up with that idea of Tales from the Slums because everyone was saying like their true stories, so it was really nice.
It was amazing because it then went on to win an award and they showed it in the square. That must have been very
Yeah.
surreal for you. How did you feel when you saw it on this big screen in the middle of town?
By then, I was young, so it was like it wasn't a big deal because when you're young, you just feel like it's okay, like. But now coming to think of it, like it's really a big deal because it has opened a lot of doors for me.
And why was it important for you to tell the story of the slums where you grew up?
Because I guess we are being profiled as people coming from the informal settlement. They think of drugs, they think of gangster, they think of negative side, which I feel like it's not true because I've lived there like my 28 years. And yes, we have our own challenges, but if you have your own principle, like you make it really nicely, because a lot of people just tend to think like an informal settlement, especially in Africa, also like we are poor. Yes, we are poor, but no water, like we are in drought and all that, no food. But other part is that it's a beautiful place where you learn so much and also you appreciate the little thing that you have. So when you have like you become a millionaire, you also appreciate. So it's a really nice story. Yeah.
Yeah, I really loved the way you painted the picture of the place and the kind of life people have there. And then you ended on this wonderful positive note where you spoke to everyone about what their hopes and dreams for the future were and what their ambitions were. I liked I liked the way you told that story. It really took us on a journey. So talk to me more about what happened with Films Without Borders then after this documentary was made. Because they bought you your first camera, I think.
I remember the last time, because I normally like text Jill every time in anything that I do. And I remember I said I wanted to be a photographer. And they bought me my first camera, even the bag. So a friend of mine asked if I had my own camera and I can take some pictures. And I was like, yeah. But I didn't know it was UNICEF. So I went there. I made sure I had taken really, really nice pictures of the boss by then. She was called Lisa. And then I made sure I showed her. Ha! And then after she saw, she told me, like, we can have a coffee or a breakfast together just to discuss. And I was like, yeah, sure. And I remember after almost a month, I was called by them also. They asked if I had a passport. And I was like, I don't have anything. I've never traveled. The only far place I've gone is countryside. And they told me, don't worry, just raise money and you can get a passport and also yellow fever. But I thank Jill, Film Without Borders, because they got me the yellow fever. But before I got into UNICEF, they really got me an internship at one of the local, it is, let's say, our international TV in Kenya, it's called Citizen. I really like 3 months work internship, which was really nice because I came to love about camera. But also, like, I used to be there in front and trying to read the news. So it was really nice. Like, they helped me a lot, even the yellow fever. And then I worked for UNICEF almost like 10 months.
Wow. How was that? So where was that then? Because that wasn't in Kenya, was it?
We have UNICEF in Kenya, but I remember my first trip was in South Africa. It was really magical. The journey, like, they have really come and mentored me a lot, like Film Without Borders, because every dream that I have, they show me, like, is that what you really want to do? Just go ahead with it, and whatever you need, just let us know. And it has really helped me as a person. Yeah. And also stepped in places that I never knew that I would step, which is really nice. And it makes me feel like I need to work 10 times to make them even more prouder. Because, yeah.
Well, I, from the few conversations I've had with Jill, I know how proud she is of you, so that you have definitely achieved that. Yeah. So where are you in your career now? Like, what's happened in your life since then?
So, like I said, I really love being in front of the camera. So after UNICEF, when we had COVID, is when now I really tried to think what I really wanted in life. And to be honest, I'm a really great actor. Ha! You should see me. And I really want to act, though, in Kenya. Like, it's really hard to get, like, an agency. Yes, and also, like, just because in this year, like, I've acted, like, just two, because I was an extra person, so, like, two films only, and that's the whole of year. So it's really hard to get opportunity. So you have to hustle for other jobs, which, well, also, it's not easier.
When you're not acting, where else are you looking for that kind of thing?
So when I'm not acting, is I try a lot of auditions, which way they go to, it's like they go to waste. It's like you need to know someone inside. But what I normally do is I always sell fruits. So just to sustain, like, also try and help my mom, like, with the rent and also some food sometimes. And it's hard. I can say, like, I am positive about the future, but also, like, it makes me, like, cry every day, like, imagining. Because my talent, I know I'm really talented, but it's going to waste because time is money. But, yeah, we need to survive.
How is it in Matare with your friends who maybe haven't had the same experience as you since, you know, since Films Without Borders? You know, how is that relationship?
I can say I've lost a lot of people, especially from high school, through drug addiction and also others, like they're just, let me say envy. I don't want to say they're jealous, because for me, I know what I really want and I normally go for it. So I'm not into relationship right now. Like I just focus with what I want. And for them, like there's a lot of peer pressure. Like you need to, it's like a competition in the slums. Like you need to get pregnant, you need to have a baby daddy. Like it's a lot. So I can say I lost a lot of friends because my vision and their vision were not aligning. But I can say I've only like remained with two who are my best friends, and one is in Dubai, the other one is married now. But we're in good communication. Yeah. But I've lost a lot of people with drugs and also like healing, bad companies. So it's not easy.
No,
Yeah.
that's really hard, and especially because your experiences mean that you're sort of pushing against, like you say, the expectations of the kind of life that people live there, like getting married, having babies, and you're taking a different path, which.
Yeah, because a lot of times, like I normally go to my aunt's place just to unwind and also like to get a different environment and also to meditate. Yeah.
What change would you like to see happen for young people from the slums like you?
I guess it's a lot of advocacy, because I feel like, because I advocate for young and single mothers through acting. But now you see like just the reduction of early pregnancies, like a lot of things, because I feel like the peer pressure is too much, and we have so much talent in the slums that people don't see because the peer pressure is so much. And you can imagine, like I know like two young teenagers, they're 12 and 13 years and have already babies, but when you sit with them, like they have so much dreams and hopes about with their lives, and I'm like, if we want to be able to judge them as parents, as grandparents, because they live in a different generation where they believe in old school, it can be really nice because they're giving them opportunities, and also they can be even greater. Because you being pregnant, it doesn't mean that you can't do any, you can't go back to school, or you can't be anything greater. So I just think like we need to educate our parents and also like the older generation. Like we all have dreams, and just because we've made one mistake doesn't define who we'll become.
And do you feel like that pressure is coming from the older generations to have babies young?
No. It's coming from our own, like the millennials, because you get a lot of people having boyfriends now, right? But they don't know how to talk about their menstruation, they know the safe days and all that. So you get ending up like, because I have a boyfriend who is living alone, like that's an achievement, but he's living still in Mathare. You see, like the circle still continues. So we are our own peer pressure, because even the friends we hang out with, but we can't change friends because we are all in Mathare, so we are all thinking the same. So just like I feel like our parents, even like the older generation, should embrace, like they don't like this a new generation, and just to sit with us, help us where they need to help, even talk about these sexual things with us. Like it will be really nice and helpful too.
Who is inspiring you at the moment?
Let me tell you, I really love this an actress in Kenya, wicked actress. Like she's so Netflix international, like she's really so great. Like we almost look alike. So like she has so much. She was a teenager mother when before she started acting. So you see, like it's giving a positive vibes, like she was young and having a baby, but it didn't stop her from being the greatest actress and getting all the endorsement to do advertisement. So she motivates me a lot, and also like how she speaks like to young people, it always like it's so nice. I have another one in church, like she's called Nyawera. Like she's really makes you really think deeply in your heart, like you understand yourself really nicely. And they mold me.
That's good.
Yeah.
It's important to have strong women molding you. What were their
Yeah.
names? Sorry, I missed them at the beginning.
the name, the actress, she's called Kate Actress, and then the other woman, she's a Christian lady, she's called Nyawera, Judy Nyawera. Like, they are really, they have wisdom.
I love that. We love shared wisdom. We all need someone to kind of lead the way. And what are your ambitions for the future? So is the plan to pursue acting as much as possible? What are you thinking?
Yes, like, I really want to become the next actress, like the biggest one international, like Lupita Nyong'o. I know she's from Kenya. So, like, but here in Kenya, it's so hard, like, to get, like, an agency, like, just to be able to guide me and also give me opportunity. But my biggest dream is to become the greatest actress. Ha! Ah, you guys will cry. You'll be seeing me and you'll say, like, oh my God, she made it.
I'm going to wait to see your name in the lights. I can see it.
Yeah. I'll give a shout out. Yeah.
And what advice do you think you would give to somebody wanting to work in film in any capacity, be that behind the camera, as a presenter, as an actor?
Just be you. Like, you don't have to fake an accent. You don't have to fake your lifestyle. Just be you, because everyone is unique in their own way. So, and we want to sell originality. So, because if you fake, you know, people don't fake for a very long time. So just be you, do you, and also make sure you always do your best and pray, you know, like, prayer is always the key. Yeah. And also, like, don't give up on your dreams, because a lot of people, they give up on their dreams even before it starts because of just one comment, two comments. And we have like 30 likes. You can think of the 30 likes and the two comments, like, which will depress us. So, just go for it. You're worth it.
How do you overcome the negativity?
Let me tell you, I'm so fragile. Like, every time I hear a bad comment, like, I always cry. But I guess what really keeps me alive is just pray. You know, like, I pray, I cry, I shout. And then, like, also talking to my mom, because she's a single mother. She understands me because, you know, I'm the firstborn of two. I always go to her because I feel like friends, yes, they are there, but they don't understand me deeply. So I normally go to my mom, cry, pray. And then, like, I find myself like, yo, if I listen to these motivators, like, I'm really okay. Like, but crying helps a lot and praying.
You've got to get it out your system, and then there's another day tomorrow.
Yeah. You need to be that girl. Yeah.
And how do you think about Films Without Borders now? Like, what would your life look like if you hadn't met them?
I really don't know. But I'm really glad that I met them. Because, to be honest, I really don't. I always, even Jill tells me, and I don't like bragging, but let me brag a little. For those 12 people who are there with me, I can say, like, in Kenya, like, I'm the only one who is surviving, because I'm the nagging one. I always text Jill, I'm saying, like, need to follow all my social media. This is what I'm doing. Like, I pursue them more and tell them what I do. Because a lot of people got married, others just went to different direction. But for me, I feel like keeping in touch with them, especially Jill, like, she always encourages me a lot, and I really want to keep that friendship and also mentorship, like, for a very long time, because you never know.
Oh, I'm so glad. It's so nice to hear about your journey, Franziska, and I can't wait for you to be a celebrated, famous actress.
Yeah. I know. We leave it to God, because everything will go according to His will.
Thank you so much for borrowing a house where you could have this conversation.
And a laptop too.
I'm very glad to have spoken to you, and I wish you all the luck and all the best with everything.
Thank you so much.